Good morning, family. I guess I'm on here, okay. Have you ever been in worship and suddenly this random thought comes in your mind? Our mind seems like a battlefield, doesn't it, sometimes? I don't know about you, but there's days I really struggle with my thought life. I struggle with the things I'm thinking about. Why am I thinking about this at this time? And I think it's a reminder that of my sinful nature and my need for Jesus at that point. We are going to be talking about just a brief series, I think, that will be very encouraging for all of us here today, and that is winning the mind wars. Because how you think matters to God. What you think about matters to God. Struggling with negative thinking is not a new concept. It goes back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. It goes back to the time of Noah and the flood, where in Genesis 6:5, where all the thoughts of people were evil all the time. And one of the reasons the flood happened was because of that very fact. So this is not something that is new that we're talking about. It's been a problem from the beginning of mankind. Chronic negative thinking and depression, anxiety, over 40 million Americans struggle with this. Now, this is what we know of. I mean, there's probably a lot more that people aren't sharing, but this includes many Christians. And I think you need to rest assured today that if you struggle with depression, it doesn't make you any less of a Christian. It doesn't make you any less of a person. Because I think if we're honest and we look in the Bible with people like Elijah that struggled with depression, clearly struggled. The psalmists in Psalm 88. I mean, read Psalm 88 today. It's clearly someone who's struggling with depression, who wrestled with it in their lives and found that when I remember what the Lord has done, I will be set free from that. So today, let's talk about the battlefield of the mind. If you got your outline, there should be an outline right near you. And whenever you see, if you're our guest, our special guest today, we're honored that you're here with us. And every time you see a word that's underlined in yellow, you want to fill that in on your outline. So let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, there is no God but you. And Lord, we're just going to start this today by just saying we're just confessing our struggle with our thought life. We all wrestle in this area, and I believe that you want us to talk about this because this is an area that we need victory over in our lives. And I pray, Father, today as we talk about this, your Holy Spirit will direct our thoughts and guide us, help us focus, help us listen to your word, and just ask, Lord, that you teach us how we can win this mind war that we all wrestle with. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, the mind is very important because it's what encourages us in our actions. It determines what we do. So, obviously, what you think about influences what you do. So, therefore, it is important that we get this thing in our minds together because temptation begins in the mind. It's where we make our decisions to sin, where we make our decisions to rebel against God. It begins in the mind itself. Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual morality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." So there you have it. It all begins within me. It begins within you, in our minds. So we have to get a handle on this thing called the mind and work through the battlefield that we all wrestle with. Now, what is the root of negative thinking? I think it's rooted in fear. When we constantly are bombarded with negative thoughts, I think we need to step back and say, what am I fearing? Am I fearing the future? Am I fearing, if God loves me or not? Am I fearing that I've, am I forgiven? Because what fear does is it gives birth to worry and doubt. Those are all three work together in our lives. And it's rooted in our thinking, what we're thinking about. Okay? The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans, than to trust in princes. By the way, Psalm 118, verse 8 is the very middle of your Bible. Somebody with entirely too much time on their hands has determined that that is the very center of the Bible. Now, if that's the center of the Bible, what is God trying to tell you? That you need to stop listening to the media. You need to stop listening to what people are saying. Because we live in a very negative world. I'm not anti-news, but I'm like, just give me the headlines, that's enough, thank you. I don't need to talk about it for 4 hours, which we tend to do. Which creates fear, creates doubt, creates depression, creates anxiety. You are your own preacher. Did you realize that? Every single day, 60,000 thoughts is the average person thinks in a day. Now, some obviously more than others. But what do you think about? If we were to take a survey today and ask, are your thoughts more positive or are they more negative? What do you think most people would say? It's kind of easy to be pessimistic in a very negative world, isn't it? So I think what God is trying to tell us today is we need to be very intentional. Intentional about what we think about, intentional about what we read, what we watch, what we listen to. Because it is influencing you more than you realize. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. You don't think your thoughts matter? They do. Very much. Because they influence the way you think, the way your actions and your habits and your character. Character is who you are when no one else is looking. Your thoughts tie into that, and your destiny ultimately ties into that. It's interesting that scientists have discovered that repeated thoughts create physical grooves in the brain. There's a joke there. I'm not going to share it. But you get the idea. The more you think about something, the more continually you think about it, it's ingrained in you, you're creating a groove, a habit, negative feelings about life in general because of your thought life. So there's proof of the pudding right there in science. It's important what you think about. It's important what you think about. I think we could call that Eeyore's disease. Y'all remember Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? Anybody here like Eeyore? Eeyore rocks. You know how he's always negative? Oh, it's going to be a bad day. Oh, it's just not going to work out. Oh, Pooh, I don't know what we're going to do about that honey. You know, it's just a constant negativity coming out of him. He lives like a lot of people live. You know why we laugh about that? It's because a lot of people live like that. Why is it that when we get into a situation where something happens or a trial or a problem and the first thing we think about is the worst case scenario? Why is that? Why are we all about worst case scenarios? It's because we've been trained to think that way. And I want to tell you today that we have been so conditioned by the movies we've seen, by the news, by everything, that we always look to, well, what's the worst thing that can happen in this situation? I think this way, don't you? Sometimes. But the reality of it is the things that we worry about, the things that we just stress about, the Eeyore in all of us, they're things that we have absolutely no control over. And 99% of the time it never happens. Do you realize how much of our lives we have wasted worrying about stuff? Full of anxiety, stressed out about situations we have absolutely no control over. And we just could just thank the news media for doing a great job, because they are creating a sense of fear in this country where they don't want you to trust in the Lord. They want you to trust in them. And it creates a sense of fear and doubt and insecurity in so many of us. You know, the good news is we don't have to stay that way. For God has given us not a spirit of fear. He hasn't given you fear. He's given you power, He's given you love, and He's given you what? A sound mind. Would you know about that? Paul calls this in 1 Corinthians 2:16 the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. What does he mean by that? He means that you have the Spirit of God within you. You've been baptized into Christ. You're walking with the Lord. You're trusting in the Lord in your life. You've got the Holy Spirit living within you. You've got the mind of Christ within you to get you out of situations, to help you think in more trusting terms as the Lord would want you to. God has given us everything we need to win the mind wars, is what he's trying to say. So we have everything we need. Now we got to learn how to use it. So how do we overcome negative thoughts? Well, you got to fight intentionally. You got to fight intentionally, not in your strength, but in the power of the Lord. Intentionally means you make a choice. You wake up saying, I'm in a battle today. I got to fight today. I got to fight for my mind, fight for things. It's not going to come to you by osmosis. It's not going to put it in a microwave. You've got to fight intentionally in this thing. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God. God never says, take it off. And I think for a lot of us, we take it off every day. We go about in our own strength. When we need to put on the armor of God, he's going to tell us what that is later. Put on the full armor so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your boss is not your enemy. The guys at work that are driving you crazy, they're not your enemy. Your spouse, your family, all those people that are in your life, the relationships, they are not your enemy. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan is the enemy. It's not your husband or your wife. He's the enemy. So I want you to listen close. Come here, family. Come here, listen. Come over here. Listen, listen. I want you to hear what I'm going to say right now. Because for a lot of you, you are tuning me out. I want you to listen to this. Just because you have negative thoughts does not make you an evil person. Did you hear what I said? Just because you have occasional random thoughts that come out of nowhere doesn't make you an evil person. It means that you have a sinful nature and you need a Savior. That's what it should remind you of. That you are weak. That you can't do it on your own. You got to be strong in the Lord. Because you can't fight this battle by yourself. The point is that we go through periods in our lives where we are trusting too much in ourselves. Too much in ourselves. Now, I want to bring up something that I think is very important to understand. In Matthew chapter 16, Peter had this problem. One minute he's thinking positively. The next minute he's thinking negatively. One minute he's positive and it's going great. The next minute it's negative. Can we remember what that is? Peter says, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that God has sent you. You are the Messiah. And in the next breath, he says, Jesus says the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified, and on the third day he's going to rise. Peter says, no, that can't happen. No, 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 no. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. One minute Peter's saying the right thing, the next minute he blows it. Anybody ever have a day like that where you're just like, I said the right thing at the breakfast table, I got in my car, and the next minute I'm saying the wrong thing? Am I the only one here that's had that happen to them? Come on, folks. Get me out of here. Paul understood the power of negative thinking, okay? In the book of Corinthians, let me tell you something about the house churches in Corinth. They were a mess. Paul struggled so much, I think, he understood the power of negative thinking, okay? In the house churches of Corinth, some false teachers had come and they had questioned Paul's authority. They were saying to all the Christians in the house churches, hey, I don't think Paul is really the real deal here. I think he's a false apostle. And here's Paul with every credential you could possibly imagine. More than qualified to teach. He was a rabbi. And Paul's, I believe with all my heart, the more I think about this, the more I think that was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Because he calls them messengers of Satan. He says, you know, I'm struggling and I want to do what's right, and these messengers have come to me and they're tormenting me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. I think Paul struggled so much with his thought life. Because here's a man that is qualified. I am qualified. I'm not a false apostle. He was qualified. And the point was, the devil is seeking to trick him, I believe, in 2 Corinthians 10. If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Corinthians 10 with me. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 3. If you got it, say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Notice that word, stronghold. Say it with me. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought. Say it with me, family. Every thought. Say it again. Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We're gonna unpack this in just a minute. Just hold this thought in your mind. We're gonna unpack it in just a minute here. A stronghold, I think this is important to understand, is a lie that we choose to believe. It's a lie. A stronghold is something that it's false and you've believed it your whole life. The Tennessee translation is stinking thinking. And isn't that little skunk cute? Little baby skunk. Well, he still stinks, right? And so do the lies that we believe. Okay? A stronghold is more than a present-day lie. I believe it's a generational curse. And nobody in Churches of Christ talks about generational curses. We need to talk about generational curses. Because not only are they biblical, they're real. And for a lot of us, we are under generational curses. What do you think the Lord means in the Ten Commandments where he says, I shall punish the father to the third and the fourth generations? What happens when you have an alcoholic father in the first generation? He passes it on to the next generation, and that generation passes it on to that generation. But today, for what we're talking about negative thinking, I'm talking about generational curses, words that you have heard, when you were young, when you were a child, that you listened to enough and you believed strongly enough and you've owned deeply enough, now it's part of your identity. These are the tapes that you play in your head when a bad situation comes. When a bad situation turns up, yes, see, Chris, I told you can't do anything right. You're such an idiot. Why do you do? These are the tapes that you play in your mind. I have my set. Don't you have yours? And they're strongholds. They're lies. They're false. And we believe them. I'm not talking about psychology here. I'm talking about Bible. This is Bible. God wants to get in your head. You'll never amount to anything. Anybody ever say that to you? You're so ugly, you're so stupid. You're going to be just like your dad or your mom. Just like them. Those are generational curses. And guess what? People, when they're young, they hear those things. How many of us in this room heard words when we were 7, 8 years old, and we remember them to this day? And it's influenced the way you think about yourself. Family member told me, Chris, you're the reason I couldn't go to college. It's all your fault. That's what I heard growing up. That's a generational curse. Alcoholism, addiction, yes, those are words. But I'm talking about word curses that can carry into the next generation. Where you have said these things to somebody or your father has said it to you, now you're telling your kids the same thing. These can become strongholds, lies that we choose to believe. This negative thinking, this depression, this anxiety comes when we believe those lies in our lives. Got to stop passing it on, man. If you grew up with it, why would you put it to your kid? Why would you be so critical of your child if you grew up in criticism? Stop. Next few weeks, we're going to talk about crushing strongholds in our lives. I'm going to talk about shame. This idea that I can't change. You're a hopeless case. You're a waste case. We're going to look at truths from the Scripture to deal with shame. We're going to talk about the fear of failure. I can never be possibly good enough. Not only to please my parents, but I can't be possibly good enough to please God. You got to be kidding me. That's a stronghold. Fear of rejection. God is going to give up on me. God will not keep forgiving me. I have gone too far. It's a stronghold. Fear of punishment. I keep failing. I keep struggling with the same sins over and over in my life. And God is just going to say, forget it, Chris. I've had enough of you. And we have this fear of punishment where we think that we're just not worthy. And that comes from a stronghold of negative thinking in our hearts and our lives. Let's unpack this verse very quickly and we'll close up. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The world fights physically, we fight spiritually. Amen? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They're not weapons, literal weapons. They are weapons of satanic mass destruction, George Bush. Okay? They're truth. Paul talks in Ephesians 6 about a Roman soldier. He says it's truth, right standing with God, peace, faith, prayer. Those are all of our weapons at our disposal to fight the negative thoughts, to fight the devil itself. Now, what can these weapons do? On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, lies that you have believed your whole life, lies that you constantly play in your head. So how do we overcome negative thinking? You overcome it with truth of God's word. You start seeing yourself as God sees you. Not as your parents saw you, not as the world sees you, as God sees you. Because God loves you. God says, you're my child. You're precious. Every one of you are precious to me. So we've got to keep the armor on. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. Say it with me, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How? By choosing to think what God says. You got a choice. You have the mind of Christ within you, the Spirit of God. So now you have a choice. Gee, am I going to think what the world says about me, or am I going to think what God says about me? That's what it means to take every thought captive. So we need to see ourselves as God sees us. I want you all to stand up for a minute. Stand up. This is biblical truth. Say it with me. Ready? Because of the cross of... I can't hear you. Do you believe it? Are you sure? How come only a couple of you believe it? The rest of you are just kind of saying it. This is truth. This is what it means to crush strongholds in your life. You can be seated. You start replacing your negative thinking with truth. That's going to transform your life. You overcome the negative thoughts, and this kind of ties into this whole thing, by renewing our minds with the truth of God's Word. Now, we've looked at Romans 12 early in the spring, and I'm not going to tear this apart, but I'm going to walk you through it very quickly because it's something you're already familiar with. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. In other words, the one translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, its way of thinking. Money is what matters. Power is what matters. Sex is what matters. That's the way the world thinks. That's the pattern. So how do I not let the world squeeze me into its mold? Well, I get transformed. Metamorphosis is where this word comes from. By the renewal of my mind, I've got to reprogram the way I think. And this ain't going to happen overnight. We may be struggling when we're 90 with the same stuff we're struggling with right now, but Lord, you're going to walk me through this time. I want to encourage you, if you're thinking about a gift to get for Christmas, this is the best, absolutely the best study Bible I have ever seen. And I'm a collector of study Bibles. I love them because it's all in one. If you buy one Bible, this is the Bible to buy. $25 to $30. Cheap, but man, excellent. Well done notes. Tons of stuff in there. ESV is an excellent translation. It's one of the newer translations based on recent scholarship. Excellent stuff. So there's your Christmas gift for Christmas. So we've got to reprogram the way we think with God's Word, with positive Christian music. Turn on Way FM. Turn on, you know, the fish thing. Turn on the fish. Whatever you've got to do to program your mind, program it with music that is positive, Christian books that edify, movies that encourage. We got to think about what we're feeding our minds, folks, and not be squeezed into the mold of the world. Now, mind renewal involves constant refocusing. Read, do, fail, repeat. Read, do, fail, repeat. Our lives are like that, aren't they? They take constant refocusing. It's an intentional thing. You have to do it, or you're gonna get caught up in the negative thinking of the world. So yeah, we can say, yes, I'm totally committed. Yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Check. I believe that with all my heart. I am committed to Him for life. And then Monday morning comes, and I'm dealing with a guy going 3 miles per hour in the road. Somebody yells at me at work for no reason. My spouse gets upset with me because they're having a bad day. I have to reprogram myself daily. I have to refocus my life. So it's a daily prayer of recommitment. Spiritual growth, I think, is important to understand. It's a process. Everyone here in the room we're all at different levels of faith. And it doesn't mean one is better than the other. It just means that's just the way it is. We're all growing. We all need Jesus. We don't know everything. And it's 3 steps forward and 2 back often. It's not a walk with God, it's a crawl with God. How's your crawl with God going? It is. For me, a lot of times, it's a crawl. Now, I want to share with, just real briefly, a really a new way of studying God's Word that's been around for over 1,500 years. I just started doing this recently, and it's really kind of transformed the way I read the Bible. It's on the back of your outline. It's called Lectio Divina. I'm not going to read it. You read it today. I want to challenge you this week to pull out a text of about 15 to 20 verses and just read it in the way that I've asked you to read it. The Benedictine monks of in the 6th century started this process of called Lectio Divina, divine reading. It's beautiful. This will help you immensely as you seek to renew and transform your thoughts. So how do we overcome our thoughts? We fight, we renew. We fight and we renew. And I want you to be at peace. The cross is enough to save you and me. One day we're going to be whole. One day. Until then, we've got to be faithful. We've got to fight. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take daily, intentional choices that you and I make. God will help you overcome. You and I overcome our negative thoughts. Let's pray together as we close. Father, we're so thankful that there's answers to this winning the mind wars, because we struggle. I pray that you will help us to fight intentionally to renew our hearts and our minds through what we read and listen to and watch. I pray, Father, that you help us make the right choices in our lives. If we need to get rid of certain movies or shows that we're watching, if we need to put away certain books or music, I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts to do that very thing. Because I know that you are a God who loves us deeply. And you want us to spend time with you. We love you today, and we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, if we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
With me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord. No other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow than with this one compare. A constant sense of thy abiding presence where'er I am, to feel that thou art.